We've been in a series on Wednesday nights that we called You Can Have What You Say. We've been there for some time. Let's go ahead and spend a little bit. Let's turn over to Mark 11, 22. Praise God. Mark 11, 22. It's on your sheet as well. Anybody there? So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed,' excuse me, 'and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Jesus himself said, "For assuredly, most assuredly, I say to you," so he says it's a sure thing, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So he said, whatever things you say and you believe in your heart. He didn't just say whatever things you say. And that's where some have missed it. It's believing in your heart, and faith comes by hearing. But it just doesn't necessarily spring up overnight. Faith is not knowledge. It's just because you know something with your head. That's not the same as having faith that it will in fact happen. But if he says, if you believe in your heart, and if you say to the mountain, "Be removed and be cast in the sea," and you don't doubt, then, and you believe in your heart, it's going to happen. And you will have whatever things you say. And so that's a Bible truth, that our words are powerful. It has to do with legalities. The fact that God has given us dominion on this earth. He gave Adam dominion, and Adam bowed his knee to Satan. And so Satan is the god of this world, and he can't control the Christian, but what he tries to do is influence the Christian to yield to him. And to get, if he, like we said a few weeks ago, if he can control your tongue, then he can control you. Or if he can't control it directly, but if he can influence you to say what he would want you to say, then you're taken captive by what you say. Because what we say in our own life will go, not what somebody else says in our lives or to us. Somebody can say, "You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything." Now, I'm not saying those words can't affect us. They can, but only if we'll let them. And that's why when children who don't know any better sometimes hear those kind of words, it can greatly affect a child. That's why we should speak good words, especially around our children or around young ones or anybody, really. And we'll talk about that. But regardless, it does not matter. Somebody else cannot come up to you, say things about your life, and force those things to come to pass. It just doesn't work that way. And it's for good or evil. You can't go and speak something good into somebody else's life if they don't agree with you. I mean, I'm sure we all have had times where we wish we could do that. You know, sometimes we think we can see what somebody else needs more than... Sometimes it's hard to see what you need, but you can surely see what somebody else needs, because that's just so easy to solve everybody else's problems. But don't you wish sometimes you could go up and just say, this is the way it's going to be in your life, and help them according to the word, and that it would just happen, but it doesn't work that way. Now, if they'll agree with you, then you can put your faith with their faith, and you can see things happen. But if they don't agree with you, if they said, "No, I don't want it that way, I want it this way," then we can't do anything about it, and that's the way God made it. The good thing is, though, if somebody tries to do something negative in your life and say, "Well, you're going down, and you're going to become bankrupt, and you're going to die," okay, talk all you want. It's not going to happen in my life because you don't. Another person doesn't have authority in your life. And so that's why Satan knows that. So he tries to get us to speak what he wants us to say so that we give him authority in our lives, whether we know it or not, whether we're conscious of it or not. That's what the tongue is much more important than some have realized. Let's turn over to James. We'll pick up there. We spent some time in James, several weeks in James chapter 3, talking about this, and I believe we'll go into a few more verses. James 3. James 3, verse 2, it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect or mature man, complete man, also able to bridle the whole body." So if anybody does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. He's able, if you can control your mouth, you're able to control your body. "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also at ships. Also, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." We spent some time on that a few weeks ago. That a spring does not send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening, that we should not be letting negative things come out of our mouth. Now, I'm not saying every one of us has fallen in this area, made mistakes in this area, but we didn't have to. And we don't have to going forward. We don't have to. There's never a time we say, "Well, it just overwhelmed me." We yielded. And we've all yielded. But we don't have to. Now, if we think we have to, then we won't resist it. But if we know that we don't have to yield, that if we're become more conscious that the enemy is trying to use our mouth to hurt us, and that negative words are never appropriate. They never are. I mean, there are times we'll feel pressure, times that we'd like to say a bunch of stuff, and we've all yielded to that at times. But we didn't have to. We didn't have to say that. We could choose to rejoice and praise God. It's always appropriate to praise God. You know, some individuals get in the habit of saying negative stuff a lot or cussing a lot when the conversation is quiet. You know, some people, it's easy to get into a bad habit of saying certain phrases. Well, we can get in the habit of praising God. I mean, you have to be real forward about it. You don't have to get in people's face about it. And necessarily, if people don't understand it, the Bible says, you know, don't throw your pearls before swine. But at the same time, under your breath, if you're sitting there, and it's better to just be like, "Well, praise God. Hallelujah." I mean, even if you're doing it quiet, doing it to yourself, that's better than saying other stuff. It's always appropriate to praise God. You know, they praise God in heaven 24/7. That rhymes. I didn't mean that. But no, they're praising God all the time, and it's appropriate for us to praise God. And sometimes it takes a lot of discipline when you want to say something that is negative to just, sometimes you have to do it through gritted teeth. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's not what you want to say. That's not what your flesh wants to say. Your flesh wants to say some other things. But if you'll say, "Praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing me over. You're helping me. This is going to turn out for my good and your glory. This situation, I just thank you that you're working on my behalf right now. You're working on my behalf. You're moving things. You're helping me right now. If you'll say that instead of what you want to say when you're looking at the situation going, I don't see how. And what about this? And how are we ever going to do this? That doesn't help anything. And in fact, we are yielding to the enemy, and he's a legalist. He tries to get us to say those things so that we're speaking negative over our lives, so that we speak forth those things and decree them in our lives. You realize that we're the king of our lives. What we say will go. And so if we decree, I'm not going to make it. I don't see how. This isn't going to happen. I just don't understand how we're ever going to get out of it. Then, according to what we say, be it unto us. And as we hear that, that's going to affect our faith. Because you may start out okay, and just it might be a little temptation, but you start speaking negative really quickly. Your faith will be affected by that, because you're hearing negativity. You're hearing yourself speak negative. It's not good ever to play with that. Now, I'm not saying that, again, to condemn any of us, because we've all missed it. But if we'll realize, we can replace it. We can replace it with something. If we have a habit of saying the wrong thing, we can replace it with something. Like any habit. If it's a bad habit, if we've gotten into the rut of saying the wrong thing, just like any habit, it's hard just to say, well, I'm going to stop doing this. Whatever it is. You know, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to stop. Without replacing it with something. Replacing it with something good. Replacing it with something you want to do. So it's good to replace it with something godly and edifying. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 10. It's on your sheet too. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, or restrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The first part about that, or the first part in that verse says, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain or restrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. So notice, we're supposed to restrain our tongue. That means when you restrain something, like if you restrained an animal, what we used to have when I was growing up, we had a dog, a female dog named Muffy, and she was a mutt. She's part pug for sure. She had a little short nose. Her tail curled up in the back. And she had short hair, and we don't know what all was in her. But, I mean, she wasn't like real short pug nose, but it just had a little bit of a pug short on it. And we got her when I was in fifth grade. We were begging, and you know, my parents had four children. I had two brothers. I have two brothers and a sister, and I was the oldest. And we were begging and begging my parents for a dog. We wanted a dog. Wanted a puppy. Give us a puppy. And we went to the pound and one time and looked at the dogs, and there's this cute little puppy, which was Muffy. I mean, she's just a baby little puppy. So cute. And we all fell in love with her. And daddy, can we please? Because it was my dad's decision. I mean, he wasn't really too hot on us having a dog. And he kind of drug his feet. But then I think it was on a Saturday, because then I don't know if we went home or what, but then my dad, this was in the 80s, racquetball was really big, and he was playing racquetball, and then I actually took lessons playing racquetball. So we went to the racquetball courts. If you know what the way it is, there's a court, and then up on the top there was tables and stuff. You could watch the people playing racquetball. We went up there, we came in, and there, I don't know if we saw it there, I just remember going to the racquetball courts, and then there's a box. I don't know if we all saw the dog beforehand and brought her there or whatever, but I just remember being at the racquetball court, and there's a box, and Muffy's in it. And we have Muffy at the racquetball court, and we're all so ecstatic. Of course, we're going to take care of the dog, and we're going to walk it every day, and we're going to feed it, because all kids say that until they don't do it 2 days later. But we were so happy. And the thing is, and my dad will admit this, he was the one that was dragging his feet with Muffy, but he was more smitten with Muffy when we got Muffy, had a sweet spot in his heart for her more than anybody once we had the puppy. And she was a cute little puppy. And so anyway, my mom kind of took up walking her, and she did a good job because Muffy lived to be 17 years old or something like that. And but she would take her for walks. And, you know, initially we just had a collar. And Muffy would always just be pulling on that thing. She'd always be trying to go forward and she'd be like, you know, because the collar is just choking her. Finally, we got a harness, so it was pulling on her more of her midsection. But I remember, I mean, Muffy, if you didn't hold on tight, if she got a scent of something, she would try to dart over and go find it. But you had to restrain her. That means she wanted to go in that direction. She wanted to go someplace else, but you had to hold on. And one of us kids, you know, sometimes she'd get away and just go, Muffy, and she'd be running, and we'd have to, sometimes she'd be away for a long time, and then she'd come back and find her way home. But the point is, Muffy had to be restrained. Muffy did not know any better. Muffy, if you let Muffy go, Muffy's going to go try to find the ground squirrels or whatever. She wasn't a hunting dog, but she liked to just chase things. That's what she did. If I just say, oh, Muffy, you'll just stay here and you'll do what I want, that's not what happened. Muffy's going to go do what she finds interesting at that time. And that's the same thing with our tongue. Our tongue is not, if you think you're going to get to a certain point, I mean, you got to discipline your tongue, but if you think you're going to get to a certain point where you're just never going to have any temptation to do anything with your tongue, like we read over in James, you have to restrain it. You have to make it do what you want it to do. Because there are going to be times it wants to just say something, it wants to go off in the weeds and go say something that if you follow that, you're going to be picking up the pieces for months if you say the wrong thing to somebody. It could be where you want to say something and you just go off. If you let yourself go and you don't restrain your tongue, you could ruin relationships. You could ruin trust. So the Bible tells us if we want to have it good, that we need to restrain our tongue. And that means just what it says. He said, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain or restrain his tongue from what? From good? No, from evil. That means there is not any time we should be letting evil come out of our mouth. What's evil? Anything ungodly. Any cursing, any talking bad about other people, talking bad about the things of God, criticizing. You know, it holds true. It's not in the Bible. But if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Sometimes it's just good to shut up. I mean, think about it this way. If like we're talking about, we decree with our mouth what's going to go on in our lives, then whatever you said last, if you decreed good things and said, I'm going over, I'm an overcomer, things go my way, I'm going to pass this test, or I'm going to do well at this job, or my body is strong, then when you're tempted to say something opposite, if you'll just shut up, I mean, the best thing is to say something good. Say, thank God. Praise God. God is going to bring me over. I am doing well. But if you'll just can it, be quiet, then the last thing you said is what goes. So if you were saying good before, don't undo it. Just be quiet. That's, I mean, you say, it's just so hard. I don't want feel like saying anything good. Then at least don't say anything. That's the second best thing. Just keep the mouth shut. And sometimes that's all you can do. Because you really want to say something negative, if you'll just bite your tongue if you have to. Just, I'm not going to say anything. A lot of times it's just emotion anyway, and it'll pass. But God clearly says we are supposed to restrain our tongue. Easier said than done sometimes, but God said we should do it. So if He told us we could do it, then we can do it. I just can't. Sometimes, I mean, my mouth has a mind of its own. I just let it rip. That's not what the Bible says. That's not Bible. That may feel like that. And if you've yielded to the wrong thing over and over and over and over and said the wrong thing, then it may feel like you have no control, but that's not true. We actually have control. We all do. And like I said, we've all missed it, but we didn't have to. And that'll blow some people's minds. They say, well, no, I mean, we're all just... Some people say, well, we're just sinners, saved by grace. We just sin. No, that's not true. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if God told us to do something, then we actually have the ability to do it. And that's not to be hard on us. That's just to say, look, I don't actually ever have to say that negative again. I don't have to say the wrong thing. Because God clearly, the Bible clearly says, if we would love life and see good days, he who would love life and see good days, let him restrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Now you could take that as lying, and that's certainly true. But anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God, like we've been talking about on Sundays, the devil is always trying to deceive us. And he will give us thoughts that are actually lies that he wants us to speak out because he wants us to go in a certain direction. But they're lies. And anything that we say that contradicts the word is deceitful, is wrong. Because if God said something's true, if God said this is the way it is and we say the opposite, that's deceit. That's wrong. It's not true. It may feel true. But if God said the opposite, it's not true. And so the word clearly says we're supposed to refrain from that. Let's turn over to Ephesians 29. Ephesians 4:29, excuse me. There's not 29 chapters in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let's go back to verse 25. This all kind of goes together. It says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place or opportunity to the devil. We're not supposed to give him opportunity. If he didn't need us to give him opportunity, then it wouldn't say don't give him opportunity, because he could just come in and do whatever he wants. But it says don't give him a place. Don't give him opportunity. One of the ways we give him opportunity is through our mouth. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification or building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So it says a number of things here. In this passage it says don't give any place to the devil. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That's very clear. It says, let no corrupt word. It doesn't say you have an allotment, a quota, every day or every week. You get 100. And then you're in trouble once you cross that. But before that, that doesn't really matter. The devil give you a pass. God doesn't. He just says, whatever, that's okay. You're a human. I understand. You know, if you had a really bad week, you might bump it up to 120, because we understand. But after that, you're going to pay. It doesn't say that. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now, this is just the Bible. If this isn't true, if God's word, if this isn't true, then how do we know anything else is true in the Bible? But God does not give us something that we can't do. That doesn't mean you have to be perfect right out of the gate. This is where we are to attain to, and this is what we're capable of now. But you say, but there's no way. Well, number one, don't say that again. Don't say I can't do it. There's no way I'm ever going to be able to do that. But regardless, if we fail, we get back up and say, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get it. The number of words coming out of my mouth that are evil, that are negative, that are corrupt, it's going down. The measure is going down daily. It's going down. Maybe it was 66 today, and it was 66 yesterday, and it was 66 the day before, but it's going to hit 65 or 64 here real soon. And if I dip down to 70 or 80 or really fall down and get a 200 day, but I'm going to get back up and it's going to go down and I'm going to get to zero. And if we just stay there, we'll get it. But if we say there's no way, never. See, there I go again. I'm stupid. I'll just never be able to get this. Okay, what did you just say? I'm stupid. I'll never be able to get this. Well, okay. We just bound ourselves and we do this. It's not something we should do, but as humans, we bind ourselves and set ourselves up for the very thing. Because what are we talking about? That you can have what you say. Well, you can have what you say when you're talking about what you say. So if the goal is not to say anything evil and you say, I can't do that, well, then you just said, I can't do that. What does that mean? Well, until you change that, you can't do it. Well, I just can't. I don't feel like I can do it. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Amen?
Amen?
So if we'll start saying, I can do it. I'm going to get this. I don't speak evil. I don't speak negative. I speak positively. I speak godly words. What I say is always building up those around me, that it would impart grace to the hearers. That's who I am. That's what I do. That's all I do. I don't ever speak evil. Well, you just got doing it. Nope. That's not me. That's past. I already made it right. That's not me of the future. I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah, but you just did it 3 times in a row. Yeah, but that's past. So now in the future, I don't do that anymore. You just did it again. But I don't speak evil. If we'll stay, that's when you just messed up 3 times in a row is when you have to say it the strongest. I said, I don't speak evil. I said, I speak edifying, healthy, good words. That's what I do. Yeah, but I just had such a bad day. Okay, put it behind you. Say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't have to do that. I have no excuse. That was wrong. Please forgive me. And get up and go on and take God at His word that you're clean and that you don't plan to ever do it again. You don't ever plan to, you don't make, the Bible says not to make any provision for the flesh. You don't say, well, that's fine until I get, have a really bad day or somebody, if I have to interact with so-and-so at work and they go off, then I'm not liable for what's going to come out of my mouth then. The way home, watch out. People better get out of my way. That's not, you're saying that God's word doesn't work in this situation. If so-and-so comes over to my house, I'm gonna give her a piece of my mind. Okay. Well, what did you just say? Number one, don't say things that you don't intend to do. I'm serious. It will water down your faith. If you run the mouth and say things, and again, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying we've all done this. But if we say things that we don't intend to do, we are not taking our word seriously. If you say, if that person comes over here, I'm going to do such and such, but you have no intention, you know you're not going to do it, but you say you're going to do it, you are speaking deceit. You are setting yourself up that when I say something, I may or may not mean it. But if we'll get to where when we say something, we mean it. If I say I'm going to do something, I am going to do it. If we will monitor our mouths, and if it's something, no, I'm not going to say that because I'm not going to do it. And then when we only say what we intend to do, there's a punch that comes with our words then, which is what we're talking about. Then that's when you believe that when you say something, that is going to come to pass. You have faith. You say, if I say it, it's going to happen. Because you don't just spout off the words all the time. You will watch what you say because you realize your words have power. You don't want something just to go wrong. And that's when we start watching our words saying, no, I'm not going to say that. I don't want that. I feel like saying it, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say the opposite. And we agree with God and say, I have control over what I say. I will not speak negative words. I will not let corrupt communication come out of my mouth. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good. I speak good. I speak good things. Only things that are good. For necessary edification. What does that mean? Building up. In other words, I don't say words that tear down. Not myself. Not those around me. When I speak, it lifts the atmosphere. When I speak, it builds up the people around me. When I speak, it's edifying. It's not negative. I will not speak negative. I will not be a vehicle to taint and corrupt my environment or the atmosphere around me. In my house, when I speak, it's edifying. I'm not going to pollute the atmosphere. I'm not going to pollute my workplace. I'm not going to pollute the atmosphere of my car, even if it's just me, with my words. I'm not going to speak negative. That it may impart grace to the hearers. That when we speak, there's grace there. There's help there. There's faith there. Somebody said that we should surround those that are close to us with faith and love. Don't speak negative. Even if you know your child is not doing what you want them to do, don't speak harsh words over them. They're never going to get it. They're not going to get it. I don't know what's wrong with them. Surround them with faith and love. Say, no, they're going to get it. They are loved by God. They're loved by us. They're going to get it. With belief in them. Agree with what God said. Agree with what the Word says. And surround them with faith and love. Verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of the redemption. It grieves God when we let things come out of our mouth that are opposite His Word. When, and if they're about yourself. Because He died for us, and if we've received His gift, and then we're beating ourselves up, that grieves Him. It grieves Him when we speak evil of other people that He died for. It grieves Him to hear us speaking evil. Why? Because the only reason we would be speaking evil is because we're troubled enough to let that kind of stuff come out of our mouth, and we're His children. It makes Him sad and grieves Him to know that we are in such a state that we'll let that stuff come out of our mouth that we're not looking to Him to the degree that He would want us to. What He wants us is to be full of faith. And to be built up and to be confident. And what does full of faith mean? It means we're confident in God. We're talking about faith in God. So that when a negative circumstance comes, we're not letting our mouth rip. We're glorifying Him. That pleases Him. But it grieves Him when we're at the place, not in a bad way, not in a way that He wants to condemn us. It's just like, man, if only you could see your situation through my eyes. You wouldn't be saying that. You would realize that I'm there for you, that I have your back, that I have help for you. And it grieves him. That makes him sad because we're being tormented. If we're letting things come out of our mouth, it's because we're tormented. It's because we're feeling fear. We're feeling angry. We're feeling, you know, disheveled. We're anxious. That doesn't please God. That makes him, his heart goes out to us. He wants us to be strong and secure and know that he is always there for us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. If we got a hold of that, we wouldn't let things come out of our mouth that are negative. If we're full, whatever, like we read earlier, not today, but a previous service, whatever's in our heart's going to come out. And if we're full of faith to God, then things that are going to come out are going to be faith words, are going to be strong words, are going to be words of hope, words of strength. And that's his best. If we believe that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he's on our side, the words that we speak are going to reflect that. Thank you, Lord. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that's loud quarreling, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So he said, let all the evil speaking, let it be put away from you. Put it away, and don't take it out. Put it away, lock it up, say goodbye to it, and just speak good. Verse 32 says, be kind to one another. That includes yourself. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The more we're just focused on him and his word and what he's done for us, and that there's just a calming presence there. When we realize God loves us, that he's for us, that Jesus died for us and that he has good things for us, there's a calm there. And we'll get away from speaking evil. Amen.